Good morning, and welcome to today's edition of The Bible Says. We are beginning chapter 5 this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As chapter 4 ended, we were looking at that great eschatological passage, that passage concerning the rapture of the church, the first resurrection, the resurrection of the righteous dead, our transformation, our glorified bodies, all future. And when we come to chapter 5, he begins like this: "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, how were they to know that? Well, the implication is that Paul has spent some time teaching them. It's a given. The apostle, as he traveled in his missionary journeys, as he would take time in certain localities to even pastor some of the churches, such as, say, at Ephesus, his ministry was one of a balance between evangelization and teaching of the Word of God. Now, he can say, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Why? Because he had taught them, because they knew what the Scripture had to say. Let's go back, please, to verse 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." They were well versed in this. Now, you and I, on the other hand, are living in a day when people are fascinated by Bible prophecy. Not really so much being fascinated by what the Bible says as all of the things out of the ozone layer, the things out of the twilight zone kind of interpretations that certain popular supposed Bible prophecy teachers have, the tales that they have spun. It's nothing new, I don't suppose, but at the same time, there's an awful lot of damage being done to the veracity and integrity of the Word of God by people who, in some cases, are motivated out of the depths of hell to destroy people. Others, I think, are well-meaning people. They have an interest in Bible prophecy, and they bring their best abilities to bear on it. But you will find the tendency, especially among the teachers who have managed to get themselves published, that there is a tendency to sensationalize things and try to give an up-to-the-moment interpretation of something, to give a specific interpretation to something that it seems to make what they're saying more forceful. I'm reminded of a book, I believe Hal Lindsey wrote it many years ago, The Late Great Planet Earth. He wrote several series. I remember that Lindsey had the problem of giving a modern day interpretation to things. For instance, in Revelation, where it talks about the locusts coming out of the abyss, there were things that he said, "Okay, this is a Cobra gunship. These things here are tanks, armored personnel carriers, and these are this, that, and the other thing." And when people question, "Well, why would you say that?" he always would come back with, and he's not alone in this, so don't feel like I'm attacking him personally. I'm saying that the danger is in trying to put some specific interpretation on something that may very well not be adequate or accurate. And when you go ahead and you start saying, "Well, it is this," and then in time you're proven wrong, it raises question about everything you've said, as well as what you believe and what you stand for. There's a danger in that tacking on specific and narrow interpretations on things that the Bible does not put that narrow of interpretation on. And, these guys usually will defend their interpretation by saying, well, you know, these primitive people, they didn't know how to describe what they were seeing, so they just used figurative language that came close. And we realize that they were limited, but what that was, and then they'll go ahead and tell you what they think it was. Now, I think you've seen enough of these so-called prophecies crash and burn to know that what I'm saying is valid. You don't put a spin on the scripture. You let the scripture spin you, okay? Now he says, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly, that is, you know with all assurance, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now the day of the Lord, we are not talking about what he has been discussing in the previous chapter in the sense of the rapture of the church. Now, there are those that will say that, and I don't suppose there's any great damage being done by it, but sometimes it does get confusing. When you start throwing these terms around, you say, well, it means this or it means that, and someplace else, it can't mean that. For an example, when it talks about the day of the Lord, if you turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's see, if we go to verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, will be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. When you start speaking about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, you are speaking not about the rapture, but you are speaking about the revelation in glory. You are talking about the events described in Revelation chapter 19. Now, as long as you keep that straight in your thinking, I don't care if you call it, Green Thursday, you need to have it ironed out in your mind what these terms are, what they stand for, and you need, as you discuss it with other people, as I hope you will, you need to use terms that they are going to understand and not misinterpret because you've done something a little odd. You want to be consistent in your position and in your teaching and in your interpretation as you discuss these things so that you always line up with what the Bible has to say. Now he says, you know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Well, what does that mean? Unexpectedly. A thief does not send a notice. He doesn't call the day before like a dentist will and say, I have an appointment with you tomorrow night about 12:35. I'm going to come and I'm going to raid your house and steal everything that's of value. A dentist will call you up, or his assistant will call you up and say, just reminding you, you've got an appointment, you'll be here tomorrow at such and such a time, and kind of remind you they're coming so that you'll be sure to be there. But a thief doesn't do that. A burglar doesn't announce his intentions ahead of time. He strikes when he thinks he can get away with the crime. Now, the day of the Lord, the revelation in glory, the second advent, comes unannounced. There are certain characteristics of the time that our Lord gave the church. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And when you look at what the Bible has to say about that, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. In short, they were simply too busy for God. And I think we are looking at that day now. You'll find that Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, it's interesting. On the one hand, you've got a lot of people banging the drum and flapping their lips saying, oh, what a wonderful revival we're having in this country. I fail to see any evidence of it at all. I see a lot of what's supposed to be faith or demonstrations or manifestations of faith. But it's interesting. In the Greek, when Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? In the Greek, there is a definitive article that is there that does not come through in the English. In the Greek, it would be literally translated like this, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find the faith? The definite article means that there is a definite and definable faith, something that is describable, something that is known by its character and its content, something that is recognized from, say, Paul's day to the present as being unchanged. It is the faith. And when you look at contemporary Christianity, my friend, I seriously doubt that Paul would recognize anything about it as being Christian other than the name. There's no guts to it. There's no depth to it. The overemphasis on emotionalism and feeling and sentimentality, the carnality and the worldliness that is encroached into the lives of believers and even into the churches, when you have the world's music being used in non-traditional worship services, when you have worship teams performing instead of congregations singing, where is the faith? When you have men who are preaching, and this grieves me, but some of the biggest names in America in evangelical circles have come out and said that it is not essential to believe in the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the soul. Billy Graham made such a statement. I was shocked and I was saddened. That kind of attitude, that kind of doctrinal position has been echoed by most of the other quote-unquote leaders of the day. There are exceptions. But this idea that, you're finding on the mission field, if you have any contacts with missionaries on the field in Islamic countries or where they're aware of what's going on in Islamic countries, missionaries are being encouraged to get Muslims to make professions of faith, but not to say anything about it, not to make a public profession of it. So they can go ahead and hold on to their Islamic beliefs and still say they believe in Jesus Christ, and everybody goes away happy. Well, is that what the Bible says? You're seeing the apostasy deepen. The falling away is upon us and has been in depth for quite some time. The love for the Savior, the offense of the cross, all these things are passing. They are passing not out of existence, but they are passing from common usage by the majority of those who profess the name of Christ. Yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This the imagery here, the travail upon a woman with child. A woman has no advance warning when the water breaks. When the onset of labor begins, she hasn't had 3 or 4 days to get ready for this. You know, I mean, bang, there it is. It happened. It's on the way. And so it will be, this destruction that is headed our way. Now, when they shall say peace and safety, I remember a thrill of premonition. Years ago, when as a young man I heard the words of Henry Kissinger as he came back from the Paris peace talks, "We are going to have peace in our time," echoing the very words of Neville Chamberlain that he came back from a conference with Adolf Hitler when they divided up the Sudetenland and Czechoslovakia. Peace at any price, peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. They shall not escape. That, my friend, is what the Bible says. Now, that's not politically correct. That's not popular. We're supposed to make everybody feel nice and secure and peace and safety. My friend, do you need a big billboard outside your window to wake you up? Do you need to be smacked in the head with a ball bat? Do you need a meteor to drop through your car roof and land in your lap to get your attention here? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. My time's gone for today. We'll continue this in chapter 5 on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me then. And remember, what does the Bible say?